Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is the game for Bastian Schweinsteiger, the oldest member of this midfield. He's 25.
Whoa!
Everyone else is younger.
Welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football, an award-winning podcast from Monday Owl. My name is Seb White. I am the co-founder of Monday Owl and today's host. And to my right, I've got my co-producer, Tommy Stewart. And to my left, Monday Owl Associate Editor, Asad Raza. If you're new, welcome. If you're a local, you're definitely thinking, where the bloody hell are Owen and James?
Where are they?
Where are they?
Help, help.
Where are you?
Exactly.
Where are you?
Well, they are on international duty in the Big Apple.
The Big Apple.
The city that never sleeps.
London.
No, that city definitely falls asleep around 9 p.m. Yeah.
24-hour city, my ass. Yeah, anyway, They are in New York at the Kicking and Screaming Festival talking about the brilliant LA Wolves documentary that we did. So they're out in New York. So it's just us three today. I hope that's not too disappointing for you. Let's just say we're not at all jealous that they're out in New York having fun. Nah. Not at all. No. Not at all. So we're going to shake off that envy and we're going to get cracking and we're going to remind you, lovely lot, why you love football.
Whew, coming in strong, Sebby.
On the day that this podcast is released is an incredible day of football birthdays. An incredible. Maybe the best. If you know of any better ones, please let us know because I'm going to reel off who is celebrating their birthday today.
Go on.
Ronaldinho.
Oh.
He's all right.
Jordi Alba.
Decent, yeah.
Even better.
Won a few things, yeah.
Even better.
Antoine Griezmann.
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
My boy crush.
Your boy crush, yeah.
Exactly. And Brian Clough.
Oh!
Obviously no longer with us, but that is four greats.
Now, young man.
What a day. But something else very important happened on this day in 1987. A certain Dutchman called Ruud Gullit signed for AC Milan. Now, why is that more important than the birthdays of some footballing greats? Well, I'll tell you why, Tommy. And I'll tell you why, Asad. Because Ruud Gullit is the cover star of the new issue of Monday Owl. Look at him. Beautiful in that. An amazing kit. When Owen and James are back, we'll talk to them in more detail about the magazine because it's been quite the journey, but it's been a lot of fun. So, we'll wait for that for next week. But in the meantime, go and order it, get ready, and then we'll talk about it again in the future.
Let's do it.
Amen.
So, yeah, Ruud Gullit joined AC Milan in 1987. He's on the front cover, the latest issue of Monday Owl Mag. Please go and buy it at mundialmag.com. And we can keep on doing this award-winning podcast, which is 4.9 on Apple.
It is.
5-star on Spotify.
Yeah, baby.
And part of the Acast Creator Network. Right, let's get on with the show.
I think we should.
Let's get crack-a-lacking, boys.
Ooh, is that something the kids say?
Yeah.
No, it's just something I say.
Yeah.
Thought so.
He's an old kid, isn't he? We've discussed
old
this
soul
before.
Assad. Yeah,
the old soul, the oldest kid we know. Let's get on with it. Ed, play that bloody music.
Adventures in Clubland.
Yes. Adventures in Clubland. Indian summers. Last chance saloons. And loans. Well, have we got one for you. We are going to August 2006. Asad, just quickly tell me how old you were then.
2006? I just turned seven.
Just turned seven.
Seven. Brilliant.
Fucking hell.
Incredible. Just turned seven.
How old were you, Sam?
I was a good 4 or 5 years out of uni. Yeah, 27. Just about to turn 27. So I'm 20 years older than this bugger.
20 years old? God. Yeah. I was 16.
There you are.
There's a
prime of life.
There's a generation... God.
Yeah.
Between us all.
We're going back. Asad was doing different things to what Tommy was doing, and I was doing different things.
We might be doing similar things.
Yeah. We are going to the third tier of English football. Third tier of English football. We are going to Market Town in the West Country.
Where are we going?
Called Yeovil. Oh. And because I'm in charge this week, we're talking about Marcus Stewart at Yeovil Town.
Of course we bloody are.
Now, look, I know what you're thinking. Marcus Stewart at Yeovil Town, Adventure in Clubland. This bloke's talked about Mark Hughes, Tino Asprilla, Oliver Bierhoff. How the fuck does Marcus Stewart fit into all this?
It's a good question.
It's a good question. Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. Firstly, it's a last chance saloon. It's a loan and it's an Indian summer.
Yeah.
My God.
That fits the Adventure in Clubland brief.
That's a bingo.
That is a bingo. Yes, very good. I also think as well, obviously it's a subject I can talk with a lot of freedom and passion and affection, but what hopefully will become apparent is, I think it raises a couple of really interesting points. For fans of smaller clubs like myself, I know there's loads of them, we see them on the Discord, we see them in the comments, but also fans of all football, because I really do think my retelling of this and the certain things that will come off the back of it will remind you why you love football. There'd be some people, and we know we have listeners all around the world going, who the fuck is Marcus? You know, and I mean that in the best, in the nicest possible way, you know.
Well, I mean, I would say, even before we started, put some respect on the man's name.
Well, exactly.
Because I'm sure you're about to tell us about his illustrious career pre-Yeovil.
Yeah, let's just forget about this before he ends up at Yeovil. But back in 2000 and 2001 season, Marcus Stewart is the second top scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Ipswich Town. He takes Ipswich Town, who have just been promoted into European football, essentially. Obviously, he spearheads them, shall we
say. They came fourth.
Fourth or fifth, I think.
Fourth or fifth, yeah.
You don't see that happening today.
No, you do not. You do not.
And so, their first season. First season after.
Oh, yeah, straight in. Yeah. Straight in. George Burley.
19 goals, right?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, 19 first goals. Season.
First season
in the Premier League.
And they went to Europe.
Not in the Premier League forever, but
first season. As in, they'd come up.
They've just been promoted. I remember it. So it's probably the first season, like, I'm really cognizant about football and, like, getting geeky about it.
But it was, as good as he was, and the fact that he scored 19 goals. So he was only four. So, Asad, I know you're only seven, but who do you think might have been top scorer that season? 2001. How old are you then, Asad?
2001. I'm 1 to 2. I'm 1 to 2.
He's in the 1 to 2 area. So Asad's not going to know this.
But let me guess.
He might. If I told you it was a previous adventure in Clublander.
Is it Jimmy Floyd?
It's Jimmy Floyd with 23 goals.
Seb, eat your fucking words.
He did well. He did well, didn't he? Fair play, Asad.
I mean, it's on the script.
But I didn't see it because I didn't even know that
Ipswich. He doesn't read it.
No, he doesn't.
Just come in and freestyle.
So Marcus Stewart is deserving of being spoken about in these circles, I would argue. Second top scorer in the Premier League one season. There was talk about him potentially playing for England, but he didn't quite get there. He ends up staying at Ipswich for a bit longer. He goes to Sunderland, then he goes to Bristol City. But wherever he goes, he's well-liked and he scores a lot of goals. I would say, apart from Bristol City, it doesn't quite work out for him there. Obviously, he became famous originally, Marcus Stewart, for playing for Bristol Rovers and scoring goals on the blue and white half of the city, or blue and white quarters, should that be. But he's 34. It's a last chance saloon. He's looking for a loan and he's hoping for an Indian summer. Enter Yeovil Town. Enter Yeovil Town. Now, Yeovil Town, we'd only been a league club for 3 years. Only 3 years. All of our best players and manager had been steadily cherry picked over the course of that year because we were decent, but we were League One side. And suddenly, we've got a player. We've just signed a player, even if it is just on loan, who only a few years ago was scoring winners at Anfield.
Yeah.
Now, on that same day that Ipswich beat Liverpool 1-0, Marcus Stewart scored the winner, Yeovil were performing FA Cup heroics, and as they often do, but away at Blackpool. So we were non-league. So our paths should never really have crossed. But as it is, 2006, Marcus Stewart is playing for our club. Now, the reason, this is why I'm talking about Marcus Stewart playing for Yeovil and eventually in Clubland. When your club, especially when you're a fan of a smaller club, signs a player that was on Match of the Day a few years ago, scored goals for fun, when your club signs a player of that quality, it's almost like giddy. And you almost just can't quite believe it, you know.
Well, I remember when I was going to Shrewsbury Town a lot, around probably the same sort of period as that. No, more that earlier period when he was at Ipswich. So early 2000s, when we signed Ian Wone and Nigel Jempson.
From Forest.
I don't know if we got them directly from there, but I remembered them from...
That's where they were famous, ex-Forest, yeah.
And they were in their mid-30s, they were wildly out of shape, especially Nigel Jempson, who scored two goals against Everton in the FA Cup third round, famously, which I've spoken about before briefly on this podcast. But Ian Wone, oh my God, slow as fuck, but a bit like how Owen was describing Jan Mulby at Swansea.
Yeah, well,
a wand of a left
what
foot.
What a great...
A wand of a left foot.
Technique.
And...
What a great example.
Just 10 yards ahead in his head. When I was 9, 10, 11, young football fan who was... all I cared about was football. Just watch Ian Wone.
Yeah, yeah.
Just watch him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're not going to see that much down the game.
Exactly.
That. Someone of that class and experience who just plays football the right way.
Which leads me lovely into Marcus Stewart playing for Yeovil. Now, he scored on his debut against Swansea, but it wasn't just what he did going forward. It was him on the pitch. He had a touch of class. He had a brilliant touch. Of course he did. Yes, he couldn't run as much as he used to. He couldn't get in behind the striker, but he would come back. And I just remember little things. Like I can genuinely picture him at Northampton away. He's coming back from a corner, coming back for a corner to defend. And he's like trying to pull the pieces together because this man knows football inside out. He's played at the very top level. Yeah. He scored at Anfield. He knows his shit. And he's pulling the young players into position and stuff like that. And you're like, it's so obvious when players are so much better up there, it's so obvious, especially at that level, you know, the third tier of English football. So he just added something. And again, it was a genuine, like, Marcus Stewart is playing up front for Yeovil Town.
I was going to say, did the fans and players know that? Because that's just reminding me of when, obviously for the hat-trick, I researched about Stanley Bowles, and when he went to Brentford, which were a few leagues below.
Yes.
And there was an interview on BBC where the interviewer was like, oh, Stanley, you know, you used to play for in the first division with QPR, and now you're, you know, playing below your level. And do you feel like a player of your ability is wasting himself there? And he was just like, no, the fans love me.
Great example.
The players love me.
Great example, yeah.
And, you know, I just give them a show every week. And I have fun and I give them a show every week and they love me.
Love that.
That's a great example. And Jan Mulby is another great example. So that's why we're talking about him on Adventures in Clubland, because it's great when these players drop lower than perhaps people will expect, and they do add something. It doesn't always happen, but, you know, it does. When it does, it's bloody great. And I've spoken about his goal against Nottingham Forest. But in episode 7, and again, this is a reminder that all our podcasts are pretty much timeless, because in episode 7, I talk about Marcus Stewart's goal for Yeovil against Nottingham Forest in the playoffs being the most joy and the biggest moment of my footballing supporting life, right? That's the highlight, right? That's the highlight. But, and I can still picture it. I can smell it. I know exactly where I am when I hear the name Marcus Stewart. I'm in that stand at City Ground going berserk, utterly berserk. But, and again, another reason why I brought him into Adventures in Clubland this week, I listened to an interview with him, which was a whole 90-minute interview by the brilliant Yeovil Town podcast called Glover's Cast, which isn't just a brilliant Yeovil Town podcast, it's a brilliant football podcast. They do great work. Now, he said one thing I'm very unfortunate. I've interviewed a lot of footballers from the top to the bottom to in between, wherever. But he said something that was genuinely like insightful and incredible. And it actually made me feel quite emotional. The Yeovil fans that were interviewing and the Yeovil fans interviewing him are talking to him and saying, what did you feel like when you scored that goal against Nottingham Forest? Now, to me, to the people that are asking him, to all the Yeovil fans listening in, they're probably going, that's one of the best moments of my life. It's one of the best goals of my life, right? And Marcus Stewart just said, look, I scored 254 goals, right? Don't get me wrong, in terms of importance, it's probably in the top 10. And then there's a little part of me going, oh, no, he doesn't, you know, why doesn't he share? How doesn't he share that mentalness? But then he going on to say, quite rightly, and it was really beautiful, actually. He said, every single time I scored a goal, it felt the same in that moment. In that moment, it felt the same. Whether that was me playing for my under-15s team, whether that was me playing for Yeovil, wherever, that moment when the ball hits the back of the net or goes across the line, that always feels the same and has always felt the same. And I was like...
just as good. Yeah. You could see it, and it's not like a robotic thing.
No.
It's just as good every time.
Yeah.
And he says the importance of the goal, whether the team, the game, the moment.
The standard of goal.
The standard. It's a sliding scale. The importance of the goal will always vary. But he said the feeling won't. Yeah. The feeling will just... And you just think, this man has scored 254 professional goals, right? He remembers and he cherishes every single one. which I thought, fuck, that's amazing.
I love that.
That is amazing, isn't it? And that's why he also kept giving so far, so long into his career.
That's also just a natural born goal scorer, I would argue.
Well, yeah, someone who's
not, because if you ask, I don't know, let's say Jamie Carragher, who scored about 4 goals, the same question, he will remember every detail about every goal.
All of them own goals.
Well, exactly.
But that's someone who was born to score goals, I would say.
But I love the fact, so wherever he played and whoever he did it, whenever he did it, a goal meant so much to him. And I just think sometimes there's so much stuff around football. There's so much chatter and talk. And I was just like, boil it down to its absolute most simple. When that ball hits the back of the net, the elation the player feels, the teammates feel, the fans feel. Got to just remember that sometimes. And again, the importance. And again, I go back to being a fan of a small club. We don't always have trophies. You don't always have promotions, but you have moments. Those moments mean something to all these different people. And it still means something to someone like Marcus Stewart, you know. That's all well and good. And that is a brilliant story, right? But I think listening to this interview, it put it even more in perspective, right? Because I think we mentioned Marcus before, we mentioned it a couple of years ago, he got diagnosed with MND. And oh my God, his unrelenting positivity during the interview is something, again, which separate from football, but just an outlook on life. Because he introduced himself and was saying how he was doing and stuff like this. And he says, don't be sad. 2 years down the line, I've still got my voice. I've got my mobility. I've got a left hand, which to be fair is not very good. I've got a right hand, which is decent. So I consider myself a lucky, unlucky one.
Oh, wow.
And you just think,
what a bloke.
What a man. And he's on the staff. He's back at Yeovil now, actually. And again,
Yes,
he's back. He's on the staff.
Nice. Wonderful.
And he was even caught doing some bits in training. So he's still got that mobility.
I bet he's still the best player, technically.
Well, this is one of the lads who was doing the interview. He made the joke about it. But he sort of said, no, I can't run. He said, I could do some masters football, but I can't run. But he's obviously dealing with something unbelievable. But he's using his profile as someone who has been second top scorer in the Premier League, has scored one of the best goals in a football club's history, has taken the team to Wembley like he did with Yeovil. He's using that profile to raise awareness of MND, and he's going to be doing a walk called March of the Day with loads of players, managers, football people, just to raise awareness of MND with the Derby Rimmer Foundation, because he's got to know Stephen Derby, who obviously suffers from MND, and he's got to know him really well. So they're raising money for the Derby Rimmer Foundation. We'll put all the links in the description.
Great.
Please take a moment to go and support a brilliant man taking part in a brilliant cause. But hopefully, in amongst all that, you know, the passion for scoring, the beauty of scoring a goal, and the positivity in life, hopefully, I've confounded the doubters, and that was an Invegers in Clubland worth doing.
100%.
That's incredible.
I think, Seb, that was beautiful. And you know, you can talk about the team you support. You can talk about the players you love on this.
He might not be an iconic player, but he's iconic to you. I think that's worth...
Yeah. And now, you were 7, and now you know all about Marcus Stewart.
I've learned so much, especially because I didn't read the script before I came.
But no, exactly. We hope people enjoyed that. We'll have to move on to the next section where Tommy's just going to talk about Man United. No. He's not.
David Beckham.
Yeah. Owen is going to ruin the day that he left all three of us
in the shirt. Where's my Andy Cole shirt?
Yeah.
All right. I'm Charlie Cooper. You might recognise me from BBC Show This Country, but I'm here to tell you how much I love Mundial magazine. For me, it's the fanzine of football, documenting the best of football culture forever. I'm very proud to admit I've been a long-term subscriber of Mundial for years now. But if you subscribe, you don't just get the magazine, right? You get loads of other perks, too many to mention, in fact. So join Club Mundial at mundialmag.com.
It is.
Puff, puff.
Midfield blunt rotation. Puff, puff.
Daddy.
Midfield blunt rotation. This is where we talk about a delicious midfield from football past and discuss its many merits and have some stories from around it. And at the end, we work out whether it's a nightmare or a dream blunt rotation. Asad Raza, who the bloody hell are we talking about here?
Well, friends, we're going to 2010.
2010.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Nice. We're going to the World Cup quarterfinals.
Whoa.
For Germany 4, Argentina 0.
Wow.
And a midfield that comprises of Sami Khedira,
Oh, good player.
Liked him.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely player. Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Man United legend.
Man United legend.
I liked him because he was called Bastian.
and his surname.
Oh, like you.
And
like
his a Bastian of free speech, white. And a pig farmer, like Bastian. That's what his surname means, pig farmer. Thomas Müller.
Oh, he's a good lad.
Beautiful man. Beautiful man.
Maybe my favourite non-Man United footballer ever.
A contender for my favourite non-Man United footballer ever, Mesut Özil.
Ooh.
Okay, what a footballer.
Yeah, yeah.
Great footballer.
And,
hang on, another one. We got five. It's just a five-man.
It's a five-man midfield.
Oh! See, when the midfield button rotation goes to five-man, I get excited. Oh. Because that's bloody good on its own. Stop there. We have got a great format.
Oh, there's so much more.
Well, we're sprinkling some extra stuff in it. We're getting an extra skin.
Salt like the bay.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one coming. Roll up another one.
Sorry, that was awful. One of the worst things I've ever said.
Because he's for the benefit of the listeners, if you're not watching YouTube,
my sphincter's just contracted.
That should be the opener for the episode. My sphincter's just contracted.
My sphincter's contracted.
I said that. Why have I said that?
And he sprinkled his fingers. There we go.
Wanker. What a wanker. What a wanker.
Man number five.
Gone. Sorry.
Is Lucas Podolski.
In a slightly wider position,
wider
on the midfield. Yeah,
scorer
yeah.
of exclusively Thunder Bastards.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy. I do want to do a quick side note to talk about the opponents. Diego Armando Maradona's Argentina.
Ring the bell.
Ding, Diego. This has been spoken about before, how mad he was at the 2010 World Cup. You know, being told like, It was like the words of God had come into his head, and that they were going to win the World Cup, and he picked that journeyman left back because he saw him in a dream, which isn't. But like one of my favorite anecdotes, God. Carlos Tevez misses a penalty in training, and so as a punishment for some reason, he makes Tevez go in goal, and then he gets himself and all the coaches to play a game of red arse where every single member of the squad fires a football at him. Every single member of the squad fires a football at all the coaches plus Tevez. And to bring it back to midfielders, Javier Mascherano smacks Diego Maradona in the back of the head. I'll try and find a clip of it.
Wow, I didn't know this.
It's fucking crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Yeah.
How old are you in 2010?
I'm 11.
11. So this is...
Formative.
You're
formative.
11.
This is your formative World Cup,
right?
Yeah. So just out of interest, again, as someone who grew up, went to Naples... remembers 86 just about, remembers Diego Maradona being spoke about in these hushed tones, right? Your first experience or football experience of Diego Maradona is as a manager of Argentina. What did you think about that?
I'd seen the highlights and read about him because my dad got me a big book of football legends when I was like nine, right? But to see him at that tournament, just quite fat, with like that big
rotund, silver,
but the hair,
stocky, I would say.
And the facial hair,
slick.
I have never seen a manager look better than that. Like, and the sunnies he would wear to press conferences and stuff like that.
And he had a little silver tinge, didn't he?
Yeah, he did,
just a little bit at that point.
So he came out and like insulted Pele, and I think it was Franz Beckenbauer
again. Yeah, he's done that a few times.
Yeah. But then, like a couple days after, because apparently they'd insulted him, but a couple days after, it turns out neither of them had. And then he comes out in a press conference and he's like, I'd like to apologise to Franz Beckenbauer, but I will not be apologising to Pele, which is a very, incredible, very funny thing.
We have paid due respect to the manager.
To the great man.
But let's get back to the midfield man. This midfield is great. Come on, give us some sugar.
My God. I mean, Argentina are swept away by this German midfield. This is the game for Bastian Schweinsteiger. The oldest member of this midfield, he's 25. He's only 25. Everyone else is younger. I think Ozil's 20.
Really?
Yeah.
He's only 25 at this point.
Yeah. Ozil's like 20, 21.
Wow.
Cadera's 23, Podolski's 24.
Young bucks.
And this midfielder just, this midfield, they just hammered England, haven't they?
Yeah, in
the previous round. Well, I was 20, and I remember being in Malia watching that England-Germany game where Lampard scored. It wouldn't have changed anything. They still would have destroyed.
My God, that was dominant. To briefly mention Thomas Müller, everyone thinks of him as a smiley, jokey man who tells bad jokes at press conferences. He was a sadistic fucker in this tournament. He went for the kill against England and also in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
again, a sort of positionless German field, because at one point Khedira would be pushing up and he's a six.
Yeah. So you talk about Khedira. Tell us a bit about Khedira.
Yeah, a very classy, elegant man who just sits. Beautiful. He came in. Michael Ballack was supposed to be captain of this side. He travelled over anyway, but he was ruled out through injury because he got fouled against playing against Portsmouth.
I was at that cup final.
Really?
Yes, I was working. Yes, he did. I think it was Prince Boateng.
Yeah. He got. He was out for the tournament.
That's how, man. So
Michael Ballack's supposed to be in that team.
So this is a midfield, but could have had Ballack in.
Ballack
as well,
in, so but Khedira.
Khedira.
He's number six. Schweinsteiger is number seven, which I love. As a central midfielder, we're in the number seven.
Yeah.
Podolski is eight, and then Ozil is 10. It's just
love that.
So tell us about Ozil or Podolski.
Being 11 years old, it is. I'd never seen Kaká properly.
Yeah.
I was just too young. Yeah, I was 7, 8 when he was dicking Man United, right?
Yeah.
Ozil was like no one I'd ever seen before. A guy who's so, you know, thin and like little waif-like.
Yeah.
And he could just shrug off players like, you know, twice his size. Yeah. He'd play these passes, especially in that knockout game against England, but here as well, where he would be turning towards his own box and then suddenly just play a pass 40 or 50 yards into the preferred foot and right onto the foot of the player he wanted to send it to. And I just...
An old school number 10.
An old school number. But I didn't know that at the time. He just looked...
Because there wasn't many of him about, and there's not been many since.
Not many since. Lukas Podolski, who I remember from Euro 2008 as someone who just scored screamers because he took out a Turkey team that I wanted to get through to the next round.
But
And funnily enough, Khedira comes off in this match, and who replaces him? Toni Kroos.
Oh, sorry, Toni Kroos, very quickly. He is a man, and I don't know if this has been written about. Maybe I should write about it, or maybe we should do it on the podcast at some point. But Toni Kroos, a man who I just remember noticing over the years, who loves things from Stoke-on-Trent. The man's favourite singer, from my memory, I remember him saying on Twitter, Robbie Williams, the man's favourite sportsman is Phil the Power Taylor.
Oh.
Both Stoke legends.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That's Toni Kroos, the great mate, one of the top 5 or 10 centre midfielders of all time.
He's up there now, isn't he? Got to be, isn't he?
He has to be.
And he's been, you know, and he's been pretty much wearing the same style of boot for the last 10 years as well, which is incredible.
It's the exact same boot, isn't it?
The
Adipure.
The Adipure. One.
Is it?
Yeah.
The same one.
He's been wearing the same one for 10 years, so much so that Adidas stopped making those ones and made a new version of the Adipure for him. Well, what a classic midfield that is. But this is midfield blunt rotation, so we do have to decide whether it's dream or nightmare.
I want to give my overall opinion on it.
Go on.
I'm saying it's nightmare.
Because
Thomas Muller, like I briefly alluded to before, one of my favourite footballers ever. Right laugh. I love him. I think he's great. The rest of them, there's nothing that's really... Bastian Schweinsteiger seems a nice guy. Khedira, but they, you know what they remind me of a little bit?
Go on.
You know how James said that Borough midfield is a bit like the good-looking lads on holiday, Mr. Celia girlfriends? They are a little bit like...
What, you could imagine?
They're all pretty handsome lads.
These are all going to... The German school around the corner in Hamm. where I live has got a huge German population, and there's actually a German school.
You're imagining, I'm seeing Ralph Lauren's turned up
chinos. Polo necks,
You know what I mean? Yeah. Just Mr. Celia girlfriends. I'm not vibing with them.
You know what?
Other than Thomas Muller.
You know what? I sort of agree with you, even though I picked it. Look, I would love to have. Honestly, I'm going to buck the trend because you would think Ozil would be a nightmare. I think having a DMC with Mesut Ozil is something I really want to do. Me and him would have a lot to talk about. That's a deep, meaningful chat for those who are ancient.
Chaos.
I didn't know what DMC was. I thought it was that bit that split South Korea and North Korea.
I thought it was... I thought it was a drug that Joe Rogan did.
You ever done DMT? I'm veering towards top deck of the bus at Hamm. You know, just being quite funny and enjoyable and fun, but not going that extra mile and just, you know.
It's an all right. I wouldn't say it's dream or nightmare. It's
a really...
Mad blunt rotation.
Basically, if we're saying that North Korea's nightmare blunt and South Korea's dream blunt, this is the DMZ, the demilitarized zone. Look at that, eh? Look at that callback. You don't get that on Rest Is Football. Football. Right then.
Whoa. We support this now.
Lovely. What's this section called again? This section is called We Support These Now. And this is where we highlight things, people, times, events, all sorts of things, anything that we feel that other people should know more about. Now, this is one quite close to my heart. Tommy Stewart, take it away.
Bake them away, toys. Sorry. He does that every time. I know.
And I get it every single time.
Like, and more listeners, there's one or two every week who go, were you referencing, was that the Simpsons
there?
You got it.
This man's got a Simpsons tattoo.
Oh, fuck. I hate that tattoo.
It's a good one.
It's fun.
It's too big. It's too big.
Yeah.
So, Seb, yes, this is very close to your heart. It's quite close to mine as well. It is non-league day. A couple of days after this goes out, which is this goes out on Thursday, non-league days this Saturday. Don't worry if you listen to your podcasts. I know a lot of people do it on their Sunday run or their Monday morning commute.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to save up podcasts. Don't worry. It's not too late. Number one, non-league day. It's a really big cause. It's done with Prostate Cancer UK.
Yeah.
Jeff Stelling is involved. So that happens every year. But also, non-league football happens every week.
Every week? Almost every day? Week.
And you know what?
Almost every day. I wish.
Every day is non-league day. Seb's house.
Very good point, Asad. Asad,
he's good, isn't he? Go around White's house any day of the week and he'll be hanging out about non-league day.
It's true.
But me and you both love non-league football, Seb. I, of course, have spoken many times on this parish about my affinity, my love, my passion of Westage being Chorlton.
Yeah.
West. And you with your,
Yeovil, Hampton and Richmond.
What terrible.
Yeah. Whoever it is this week.
Yeah, whoever it is this week. Yeah, Man United. No.
No, shh.
Why listen to me go on about it when you can listen to the founder of Non-League Day, which is James Doe. And I've written so much down about what he does and why he did this, but he actually explains it very concisely in this lovely little voice note. So, Ed, if we could hit it.
Hit it, Ed.
Bake them away.
Hi, I'm James Doe, the founder of Non-League Day, an event I set up in 2010 as a social media experiment after being inspired by a pre-season trip to Devon to watch Queen's Park Rangers play at Tavistock. It has now grown to become an annual part of the football calendar, backed by the Premier League and many of its member clubs, and most importantly, the non-league clubs themselves and the fans who turn up on the day. Always scheduled to coincide with an international break, Non-League Day provides a platform for clubs to promote the importance of affordable, volunteer-led community football, while giving fans across the country the chance to show support for their local non-league side. Many non-league clubs are almost exclusively volunteer-run, with money taken at the turnstiles, often funding thriving youth setups, and also projects and facilities which are of benefit to the whole community. The level of skill on offer at non-league grounds might not be the same as that at the Etihad or Stamford Bridge, but there are other sides to the experience from which the smaller club will always win, hands down. The vast majority of games still kick off at 3, ticket prices are realistic, you can often stand and drink anywhere in the ground, and will always be guaranteed a warm welcome by people who run their clubs for a love of the game.
Can we just say, John, that Mr. Doe should do fucking audiobooks?
His voice. What a voice.
That is a beautiful voice. I would love to just... Yeah, that you could picture him on a Calm Story or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Your reaction when he said you could drink anywhere in the stands, just like, way.
The Non-League Day website has a very, very useful tool where you simply type in your postcode and it will tell you you can do a 5-mile radius, a 10-mile radius. 20-mile bloody radius. If you're Seb White, you can do a fucking 300, 500-mile radius and see how many non-league games you can get to across Europe within one day.
Exactly.
Instead, me and my brother, Rich, who's an avid... He said this is the only podcast he listens to. Good lad, Richie boy. So there will hopefully be a reel on Monday Owl's Instagram of me and my brother trying to get across as many matches within a 10-mile radius in Greater Manchester as we can on non-league day. There are 14 matches.
You're saying is, how many can you do safely?
Yes.
Safely effectively and efficiently.
Yeah. So how many do you two think we can do of the 14?
I'd quite like you to do... I'd like you to see if you can get five to five different grounds in...
Yeah.
You'd be happy with five?
I am going to say
six
like...
Six it is, then.
Yeah.
But some of the games, just reading the names of these teams. I mean, this is reason alone to go and watch non-league football. We've got Main Road in Whalley Range. If you don't want to go and watch Manchester City, if you're priced out of that, you can go watch Main Road, who have the same sort of colours and aesthetic as Man City, but it's just £5 to get in. You've got FC United of Manchester, who we know, a lot of you will know, a rebellion club against Man United. Yeah. When the Glazers came in 2005, we're going to try and get to that. That's in Moston. I love that ground. I've been a few times before. Arvo in Oldham. Oldham's a place. They've played West many a times. It's a place I love playing cricket. Yeah.
Nice. Arvo.
I played cricket in Oldham.
Wait, what are you doing? Yeah, it sounds like. Yeah, it's how
Arvo.
Exactly.
Assad and his anaconda in Arvo.
In Arvo, yeah, exactly.
My brother goes to college in Oldham.
Yeah, I love Oldham. Played cricket there many a times. Stockport Town, which apparently I read recently is the best place to live in the Northwest. So we'll be going to Stockport Town.
The new Berlin.
Trafford v 1874 Northwich in Trafford, obviously. And Staley Bridge versus Widnes. I spent a lot of my 20s in Staley Bridge.
Staley Vegas.
Yes. There you go.
I've been there a couple of times when I was, one, obviously to watch football. Yeovil away.
It's a good ground.
Yeah, it's a nice ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, and a couple of times on the Manchester to Staley Bridge, like Real Ale Trail or
it's
whatever
a great
it is. It got a little bit punchy. Lively, not punchy. That is pretty damn good. I'm excited to see what happens, and I'm obviously looking forward to seeing you recap what happened.
Go into like a little bit more why I'm passionate about non-league day. It was there for me like during a really tough time in my life and a time when I was very disillusioned with Mourinho's Man United, and I went to that. I still went to watch United a lot, but then I found West Ham in Chorlton. I heard through them in like sort of mates who were going to gigs who sort of realised that we started talking about football, like, you heard of this club, and I heard that the lads from Dutch Uncles, who my band Church Party played with a lot, I heard they went down to West Isbury and Shorten, and when I first started going, it was 40, 50 people sort of average. They now average about 600, 700.
Great.
And that's, I was part of that movement that saw it swell.
Yeah.
From almost nothing.
What James says there is really good. The non-league clubs get behind it as well. And I know there was a bit of a weird thing. When it first came about, loads of people were really sniffy, like, oh, I don't want City fans, or I don't want these fans to come and just watch a game and then disappear for the next year. No, you do.
Yeah, you do.
You want them to come because they might come back, and they might come back during the week. They might not come every week, but that's fine. But they might come 3-4 times a season. And then maybe the season after, they might come more. They also might not. But why not? Get them in for the day, get them to spend some money, and it makes a huge difference.
And we can't talk about non-league football, by the way. The spreadsheet to end all spreadsheets, which we mentioned on episode 4, Roberto Baggio and the Angels. And I remember the look over my laptop screen of seeing yours and James's faces lighting up as we talked about.
Well, it's
about
a spreadsheet of spreadsheets, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like WikiLeaks,
but for
non-league. It is.
Peter Miller's spreadsheet, and we will share the link to this, but
it's the non-league promotion and relegation spreadsheet. So if you want to go and see a team try and stay up, if you want to go and see a team fighting for promotion, or even in the playoffs, because non-league playoffs, there's frigging loads of them at the end of April, May. You get down them, because honestly, you see football at its best. So what do we support now and always?
Non-league football.
There you are.
All right, Statman Dave here. You may know me from such things as that Peter Crouch podcast, the BBC, and being all over the internet. I spend a lot of my time looking at numbers, and that's why sometimes I need to read some good old words. That's why I look forward to receiving The Hat-Trick, a weekly football newsletter from Monday Owl. Stories about heroes and villains, love and hate, last-minute winners, mad shirts, all delivered to your inbox. Sign up to The Hat-Trick today at mondayowlmag.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right then, we will conclude proceedings on this week's episode of Reminding You I Love Football with our regular way to end, ins and outs. And I get to decide whether they are ins and outs. So I am the judge, jury, and executioner.
And you are actually going to execute us after this.
Yeah, yeah. There's no execution.
We know he's got some military tack back at home.
I did wonder why you brought a guillotine to the studio.
Well, it was on order of the benevolent dictator who is no longer here. Sorry, he isn't here today.
He's no longer with us.
He's been overthrown. It's a coup d'etat.
Tommy Stewart, give me your in for this week.
My in this week, Sebby, is vintage shops in Sheffield. So I was thinking maybe vintage shops in the north, but no.
No.
And I was discussing this with Assad, a traitor who left Manchester many years ago, and I don't think he'll ever come back. Even Manchester is kind of veering towards London prices in the rent, the vintage shops, the pints.
Yeah, yeah.
The fucking Northern Powerhouse bollocks. But anyway.
We have got to save a lot of money for the stadium that everyone's going to pay for. So.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Anyone from London, give me that. No.
He's fuming.
Olympic Park or Wembley. Ooh, fuck you.
Come on. Sorry.
I went to uni in Sheffield, and so I've still got a lot of mates
there. Great place to go.
It's one of the best cities in the UK, in the world, I would argue. The Steel City. But... I went around the vintage shops. I said to my mate, who I was going to see there very recently, you know what? I've not been around the record shops and the vintage shops in Sheffield for years because every time I go, it's just for a night out or for a gig, basically. Yeah, yeah. Went around the vintage shops and...
Decked yourself out.
You will see, if you watch the clips, if you watch this on YouTube, I've been complimented 3 times on this very light sort of summer jacket I'm wearing. A yellow Lacoste number. There's the little crocodile, the little metal crocodile. How much do you reckon this cost me?
Well, in London, no question, no doubt about it, that's 100 notes.
Yeah. 100 big ones. 120, probably.
£45
Yeah. Fuck me.
This Ralph Lauren
That's easily 50 quid.
Yeah.
Easily.
£6 stripey hat, £20.
I mean...
You can't complain.
We're going vintage shopping in...
Me and you, so,
£65.
In.
Part of the outfit, yeah.
Talking of vintage shops in Sheffield, shout out to JoJo's.
Just off Ecky Road, yes. I used to go there in uni quite a lot.
One of fashion's good guys.
And I should shout out as well my home city. I should shout out some Manchester ones that aren't at ridiculous prices, who are mates with JoJo, a Bionic 7 and Bags of Flavour.
Regular purchaser.
Bionic 7, Bags of Flavour, both brilliant.
Assad, what's your in?
Mine is, and you like this, Seb, it's football themed.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, that's a bit presumptive, isn't it?
Football themed bingo nights.
I will like that, football to be themed fair. Bingo. You nailed it.
Is that like, instead of doing clickety-click 66, you go, Trent Alexander-Arnold, 66?
Right, okay. The bingo is just bingo.
Oh, sorry.
I've been 2 or 3 times.
Okay.
Now. Sporting Club de Londres, or Sporting Lisboa, near Westbourne Park in London.
Yeah.
They do a bingo night. It's a fan club. It's a Sporting Lisbon fan club in London. And while they're doing the bingo night, everyone's decked out in club gear. So they're all in Sporting Lisbon trackies.
So that's the football theme that everyone's wearing stuff. It's not the number. But they're missing a trick here.
They have like scarves over the bar and like they have signed shirts and memorabilia on the walls and stuff. Great. If you go and talk to them, they'll tell you all about
We're doing this.
The history of sport in Lisbon and all that kind of stuff.
Assad, that is very much in, and we will be doing a Mundial bingo night at some point, maybe at Sporting Club Mundial. And the reason this has come up, by the way, and the reason that Assad may have mentioned this was because I was outside the exterior of Sporting Club Londres the other day because, and this moves seamlessly, this wasn't pre-prepared, I tell you not, this moves seamlessly into my inn. My inn is boxing because two doors down from there, there's a boxing gym. And I was invited by the very good people at boxing clothing brand Real. Real Power of One is their Instagram handle. They invited me down for a boxing class. Now, I have never, ever put on a pair of boxing gloves. I have never, ever done anything boxing related. I've been to a couple of gyms and filmed stuff in boxing gyms and made boxing small, short boxing.
Was that for work or for just... Work.
No, that's definitely for work.
Just cruising around with a
spare time.
But I must thank Owen Blackhurst for this opportunity, because he would have been taking this opportunity, but he is in the Big Apple and the city that never sleeps. So I went along and thought, why the hell not? Now, this wasn't just any boxing class. This was a boxing class and session run by Johnny Nelson. Now, if you know if you don't know anything about boxing, he's basically, is it fair to say that he's the boxing version of Gary Neville for Sky Sports?
Yeah.
I was the only person there that had never boxed before or never done anything remotely resembling boxing before, as people who may have seen the subsequent videos may agree. But so I was
great
in,
legs,
I was
great
in legs. The ring Strong. With Johnny Nelson for two rounds of 2.5 minutes, right? The first round was a pad workout, right? Just me and Johnny Nelson, no one else. Mm. Fucking hell, I was goosed. I was goosed about halfway through, but Johnny Nelson's in front of you going, hit me, and I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to, yeah, you know, the pads. I thought, that's it. And I remember just collapsing. And I sat down and then went, oh, no, we're doing some more in a minute. The next one was Johnny took the pads and threw them away.
He didn't put them up, did he?
No. No, he said...
Next thing, you'll have to fight me, Sam.
He said, don't hit me in the head. You've just got to hit me in the stomach as hard as you can. And I went...
I'm going to fight him.
And I'm like, geez, Louise, this man has won world titles and shit like that. And I am goosed at this point. And for just over 2 minutes, because I honestly, he's just saying, hit me. And honestly, as a piece of exercise, as a piece of mental fatigue, mental zoning in, mental concentration, I have... Absolutely was, it was almost otherworldly. I love boxing now.
It's such a physically demanding sport. As someone who like used to go to boxing,
never done anything
boxing
like
lessons and stuff like that, incredibly demanding.
I'll boxing. Be honest, I'm going to definitely give it a go again, and I would recommend anyone who's never tried it, just go and try it. Go and do something that you haven't done before once. Right, so outs.
Yeah.
Let's rifle through these, because let's keep... It's been a nice, positive episode, hasn't it?
It's been lovely.
Asad, come on, give us your
mine out. Is being ill on holiday. I caught a horrific flu off my idiot of a housemate. you pay for the flights, you pay for the Airbnb. I'm in Rome, dying on in
well,
this
Well, it's obviously
bed.
Out. Yeah. Obviously, because no one wants to be
Are you okay
holiday.
Now?
Yes, although, like... Yeah,
I'm still
recovering, but, like, yeah, it was pretty brutal.
My out is home printers.
Oh.
It never fucking works when it needs to. Never does what you need to. Out.
Fuck them.
Tommy, give us your out.
My out is cowards in cars.
Go on.
So recently I was walking along in Ancoats, and this is one of the reasons I'm moving back to M16 or M21, the Chorlton, South Manchester area, because I was walking along in Ancoats, which is a Manchester City area. I'll give them that. I'm about a mile away from their stadium, but I was wearing a Man United 1997 shirt with Andy Cole on the back. It was quite a warm day, so I just thought, okay, I'll have my United shirt on. Traffic was slowing down. Some lads in a taxi, there was four of them, one of them opened the taxi window, looked at me and screamed, "You're fucking hanging, you are! You are hanging, mate! You are fucking ugly as fuck, you cunt!"
Just...
And
not necessarily because you're ugly, but because you've got a Man United shirt on.
And I thought, of all the things you can say to me, ugly is not one of them.
I am, how you say, a narcissist.
No, I would be fair to play to you. I would agree with you on that. I wouldn't necessarily call you. But
no, but it's not. But you're just calling me hanging because of the United shirt.
Your shirt was a red rag to this Man City bull.
No.
And obviously you took it and just carried on walking, no?
No. I screamed back, fuck off.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fair, dude.
He lost his temper. You lost his temper.
It's all a bit of good, clean fun at the end of the day, isn't it? I think it's quite...
So that's why I'm not going to put it out. Because you both
did.
You both had your fun.
Yeah, we're both not bad.
It's in. Sorry. That is your lot this week. Thank you to Spiritland for hosting us once again. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you didn't, Owen and James are back next week. So, you know.
Asad will be back down the country lines.
please leave us a review. Please tell your mates. Please tell your parents. The other week, that review about the dad loving the podcast was amazing.
I love that.
Please, please, please buy the new issue of our brilliant magazine, mundialmag.com. Head over there. There's some lovely videos. You may have heard a couple of people from those videos in the adverts.
Oh, yeah.
For this one as well. So listen to what they're saying. Don't just take our word for it. Subscribe to Mundial. We have loads of ways that you can interact and be part of Mundial. Please, please, please spread the word and please get involved.
Just quickly also, I wanted to shout out to the lads from football who I play with, younger lads who've all started listening to the podcast. Sporting Omicida, that is our football team on Thursday nights. They love the podcast.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to
big up Ali,
a couple
big up
of old
Jack.
Twats like me and Owen. A couple of less older twats, Tommy and James, and this young buck.
Yeah.
Young buck who was fucking seven in 2007. Anyway,
great.
That's enough from us. Thank you very much. Love you all.
Love you. Bye.
See ya, man.
Reminding you why you love football is a Mundial and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.